Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Perhaps if you wonder what the Real Talk for Real People show, it's about a study into the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. is given a bird's eye view, a critical analysis and assessment, leaving no stone and a leaf unturned, or crossing every T and dotting every I. It should be. Plus, burning the midnight oil, we encourage you to do that also. And don't take our word for it, because this is your soul. And the most important relationship, we believe, is the relationship between the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and you. And it's imperative. But that being said, we believe it's far more important to simply study. Study is a wonderful thing, but the application of one's study is much more important. Otherwise, it's purely theory. So when you study the word of Yah, the Elohim, this historical study, make sure you're in mind to apply your studies. And you can see some change in your life because of the fact we have been doing things 402 years, some of us, and counting, and expecting different results. You have to change your thing. You have to think out of the box, because we have been socially engineered and conditioned to think inside the box. Therefore, our studies really don't seem to make any real application in our lives. So you have to not only study, but most importantly, apply your studies. And you may be wondering, who are the we that I'm making reference to? Well, Sister Avias from New York City. She is one woman in particular that I know personally for a fact. Although she had known, she'd known the way. Well, she'd known Yah, but she had really had known the way of Yah by virtue of her studies. And although it's been a short time in her lifespan that she'd known Yah by virtue of her studies, but even in that short amount of time, it's been very significant in her life. Because not only her studies, her application in that short period of time. Yah made reference to something in this regard. And that is, a lot of people can know Yah for a very long time, but for its application is concerned, it's insignificant. To that someone had known Yah by virtue of their studies, but they have made a significant application in their studies, and she have done that. You can tell by the way she walked, talk, by the way she comport herself, by the way the whole dynamic of her has changed. And we're happy to have her. She's our lead person, so to speak, on this study session. And she sort of deal with us in this regard because we are elders. Sometimes we digress and get off the reservation and sometimes go into a tangent. Although, for some of you that's been listening, it seems like she's herding a bunch of cats. But even that being said, she's done a great job at herding these cats, cool cats. Also, we have Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Yehudi has a unique way of explaining the Most High by virtue of observation and experiences. By virtue of this, Sister Yehudi used the Most High word as her template. And she puts it on everything she does in her life. And by virtue of that, the usage of it has helped improve her life and help others to improve their life. She don't tell you what she thinks. She tells you what the Most High said. And she tells you this by experience and her observation. And she's been studying the Most High quite a long time, 30 plus years. Also, Cartrell. Cartrell has been studying the Most High and applying the Most High word to his life 30 plus years also. And but what I mean, he studies, then he makes the right application. See, Cartrell, as a young boy, 14 years old, just like most 14-year-old boys, don't know what's happening or what's going on. In fact, they got to know everything, but don't know anything. Cartrell was feeling some sort of way about himself. He said, oh, man, I done covered all the bases, so to speak. What am I here for? Kind of catching the old chippy chips. But the Most High said, Cartrell, come on now. You're only 14 years old. He didn't virtually say it like that, but he appealed to Cartrell. Come on, young bruh. You don't know what's up. You don't know what time it is. And you really don't know what's going on, but I do. And it appealed to Cottrell. Cottrell went to the Psalms, the songs as we like to call them, and he studied the Most High Word. Not only did he study the Most High Word by virtue of those Psalms, he applied the Most High Word in his life. And he's still with us today because of that application. Study is good, but application is far better. There again, when Cottrell was doing his work, starting off in work, trying to take care of his family, his young family, Cottrell started the carpentry. Cottrell didn't like Heist, and I suspect that Heist didn't like him either, but that was okay. There again, he had opportunity and many more to go to study the Most High and apply the Most High Word so it don't simply become a theory. He applied the Most High Word, and he asked the Most High to overcome his fear and be his strength, which the Most High did on that occasion and many more after, because Cottrell knew the virtue of study was wonderful, but he knew the application of the Most High Word was far better. Cottrell overcame his fears by virtue of calling on the Most High every morning to overcome his fears and become his strength. And after work every day, he would thank the Most High for the application of his word in his life. And you can have the very same thing. It worked for Cottrell. Cottrell proved that the Most High Word is just not simply theory by virtue of its application. And you can do the very same thing. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. So let me introduce them to you. Sister Aviyah from New York City. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is high. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. Oh, and thank you so much, and may Yah bless you always, you and your family and everyone else. It's so good to be back. And, you know, Yah has blessed me with friends and family like y'all in order for me to learn and to be humble and to get the word. And I so appreciate that so much for this platform. Like they say, iron sharpens iron, and y'all sure enough helped me. So,
you better
shalom.
Shalom. And you know what? I want to thank you for that key point you just made there. A lot of people don't understand that, Sister Aviyah. Humility. Humility is a key to open your relationship with the Most High and maintain that relationship with the Most High. Thank you for mentioning that, Aviyah. May the Most High bless you.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have you back. Now, Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Thank you, Sister. Your mic is on. Shalom.
Well, thank you. And bless everybody on this phone. And I don't mean blessings just for protection. I always ask for my friends and people that I know all over the world to come to know our Creator, the Father of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. And thank you for letting me on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sister. Praise Yah. Now, praise Yah. Now, Cottrell from New York City. Cottrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is high. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. Praise Yah. Bless Yah, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How y'all doing, family? Good to hear your voice. Good to be back in the midst.
Yep, brother. We're
good
doing okay. Praise Yah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know, country.
And y'all, too.
Yes.
All that introduction, man. I ain't nothing but dust, man.
Said it again, Cottrell.
I ain't nothing but dust. Hey, we got Cottrell on the phone. He ain't nothing but dust. Yeah, you got to get my bio, my resume.
I'm glad you said it
because
I was going to say, you have to do that, but.
No, I was just trying to.
Your introduction is serious, but it goes deeper than that, man. I called on y'all on many different levels. Many different levels. That's why I know him. That's why I try to cling to him. That's why my job is to be a servant.
And just like King Dawood, life was notated. I try to do a feeble attempt to notate some things in regards to your own personal lives. So your usage and application of the Most High Word in your life, personal lives. And you can speak from experience.
Oh, yeah. I haven't written as many songs as King David, but I know the Most High knows my heart.
Exactly. And that's the point I try to get across. All does contra, and I concur with you. But to help the students understand it, it's real. It's real in your life. It's real in Sister Abby's life. It's real in Sister Hootie's life. And it can be real in their lives if they apply the Most High word into their lives.
And we know it's real in your life because you be calling yourself a crash dummy, take it from a fool.
Yeah.
You've been through the clink, the rain,
right,
and all that.
Right.
And life experience will teach you how to call on Yah.
Mm-hmm.
What King David did. And he called on Yah all the time.
Exactly.
And I know my tears, Yah got my tears in a jar like this, just like King David.
Right.
So from 14 to
right.
now, how many tears I've got in Yah's jar.
Exactly. And by virtue of your application, not of your own intellect, your own strength, but by the word of the Most High. There goes all of you. Praise y'all. But y'all know
and those
is,
tears, I didn't mean to cut you off, but those tears are more precious than gold to the Most High. When you cry out to Yah, your tears are more precious than gold. And Yah Su.
Yes.
Tonight's chapter in Ezekiel is short. I think you should read 2 to complete the whole story tonight.
You know me. The wicked or something. Maybe a good prospect. I always take constructive advice, and that's constructive. So, y'all know the family's night. Tonight is family night. We keep it on a family level, and we, after our studies, we like to give some thanks and praise to the Most High. Keep it at family. So tonight, as Cottrell alluded to, it will be chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Ezekiel. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Let's get started, right? All right. Let me find my bifocals. May the Most High bless us. Directing over our steps that we don't leave time.
Say, I got to find mine too.
Y'all got to find y'all by focus.
Check your face.
Yeah. You know what? I was laughing. My wife and I in a birth certificate place. And I said, some people make you really want to miss them when they're gone. But antagonistic, old bitter, old sour people, that all thing they do is bitter, sour, antagonistic. You be glad when they go. I said, well, you got to, you know, people with healthy spirits and whatnot and connected with Yah, even with what's going on around them, they are motivated, and high energy. And they say, you remember Mama Rose, your mama, and when she used to say something, she makes you want to laugh just the thought of her. Some people, when they gone, they don't make you want to laugh just the thought of, man, I'm glad they gone. The lady looked at me under her bifocals like Bernie Mac, oh, Lord. But she couldn't do but laugh. I said, some of them make you want to miss them. Some of them make you want to, I wish they get on out of here. They didn't do anything constructive. They didn't say anything constructive. They were always toxic, bitter, and poisonous. Unlike Mama Rose, just like your mother. Your mother was constructive, just like Sister Abby, our mother, was constructive, just like Cartrell's mother was constructive. Although he said she was Sergeant Mom, she left him tools and whatnot to you, not a bunch of rocks. And some people leave you a bunch of rocks. All right, y'all. Let's get started.
Can I command you right quick?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm so glad to listen to Cartrell.
Mm-hmm.
And good criticism. That's all I'm going to say. Because we
right.
used to say, you go, rah, 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 rah.
Who be saying that?
You.
I be doing rah, 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 rah for what?
You be whooping. I'm so
oh,
glad
okay.
Cottrell's online.
Oh,
hallelujah.
No. I be roaring. My name is the righteous lion of the Most High that roars by the sea of reeds. I be roaring.
Okay, but you roar.
Yeah. And I do a very good job at it, too.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's go. All right.
You always got to say the last word. Go ahead.
You better believe it. All right.
So I hope y'all prepare when the Most High roar. Because it ain't going to be like y'all Super.
No.
Nope.
No. If you can't stand my little meow, you really can't handle the Most High.
You listen to humble Cottrell. That's all I'm complimenting.
Yeah, but Cottrell, though, look at Yum Suit. It sounds like a cat.
Meow, meow.
All right, y'all.
All right, let's go. Okay.
Let's get started. The abomination, here's what the Most High says in this indictment about our ancient fathers and mothers in this indictment. The abomination in the temple, and here's what they were doing. It came to pass in the 6th year and the 6th month, on the 5th day of the month, as I said in my house, I like this part. You need a whole lot of elders around it. Some of us got a whole lot of young fools around us. This man had, he needed elders around it, although they wasn't all that great. In my house, with elders and Yehuda sitting with me, that the hand of the Elohim Yah fell upon me there. Then I looked, and there was a likeness, like the appearance of the fire, from the appearance of his waist, and downward fire, and from his waist and upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. Check it out. Go to Google and see what that looked like. He shot out the form of a hand and took me. Now, white folks ain't got no luck. The little thing they got twisted on the side, these Edomites over there, that is not a lock, okay? That's a twist. That's a lock. So Ezekiel had locks, dreadlocks. He did not have a little twist on his, little pretty twist on his back. He said, grab him by one of his locks. So he had a whole
lock.
Yes. Yes.
If he took them Edomites by the two locks they have on the side of their heads, they would have fell back down to earth.
I know it. So that's.
But you look at a brother like the Rasta brothers in Jamaica, and you think about locks, and you pick them up by their locks, you know their whole body going up in the air.
Right, because the Most High allowed him to talk in his specification. I mean, you said locks. Who got locks? Dreadlocks. Brothers got dreadlocks. Not a little twist of the hair. Look, cutie twist of the hair. That ain't no lock. Okay? And the Spirit lifted me up between heaven and earth. I was between it. Brought me in the visions of Yah to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court in the temple, where the seat of the image of jealousy was. An image of jealousy was there, which provoking Yah to jealousy, and which was, behold, the glory of the Elohim of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw of him in the plain when I first saw him.
So, Yamsu.
Yes.
Yamsu.
Yes.
What is Ezekiel going through right now?
He's going through something, man, but you and I would have been unimaginable.
He's not taking a physical journey. He's not on a horse or a cart. He ain't walking. The Most High snatched him by his locks.
Right.
While he's sitting amongst the elders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've never experienced anything like this.
No.
He's about to go into it. So it starts out, he's sitting with the elders. And then he winds up in Jerusalem.
Exactly. Out of Babylon.
Yeah.
It takes him on his mental, spiritual journey. And then he said to me, son of man, lift your eyes toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north. And there, north of the altar, gate was the image of jealousy, which they are provoking Yah to. In the entrance. Moreover, furthermore, he said to me, son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abomination that the house of Israel commits here. They were doing all kind of dirty to make me go far away. I can't even stand to be close to my sanctuary because of what they're doing here. Now turn again and you will see the greater abomination. So he brought me to the
door.
Mm-hmm.
I got to stop you right here. Because where is the sanctuary?
The sanctuary is in the temple.
And the temple is where?
In Jerusalem.
And who controls Jerusalem?
The Most High does.
Well, he says the house of Israel, meaning the whole nation. He didn't just single out Judah, did he?
No, he said the whole nation.
Even the great abominations that the house of Israel commit here. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Judah, you left, but you're supposed to represent who? The whole nation.
The nation. Right.
Even though you're few in number, you still represent the nation.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So Yah says, thank you, Gadriel. Verse 8, he brought me to the door of the court. When I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he says to me, go in and see the wicked abomination which they are doing there. So I went in and saw, and there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the walls. Every wickedness and every dirt, every idol, everything they did was portrayed all around the wall. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in that midst of Yazaniah, the son of Shaphan, each had a censer in his hand. A thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his, they're hiding and doing idolatry in the dark. They creeping. For they say, the Elohim does not see us. The Elohim has forsaken the land. If I, yeah, he has by virtue of that hiding in the dark, doing dirt, even like some of us today. And he said to me, going to church and whatnot, going to the Muslim temple and whatnot, going to Hindu, Buddha, and whatnot in the dark and thinking Yah can't see what you're doing. Turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. Say, it's going to get worse. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of Yah's house, the temple. And to my dismay, here's what our sisters were doing, just like they're doing in these churches, dancing, talking in tongues, and crying and lying. Women are sitting there weeping for Tammuz, a Sumerian god. And he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Are you seeing what they're doing? Turn again and you will see the greater abomination. You will see it is getting worse than that.
He said, so Yah Su.
Yes.
The weeping for Tammuz is where Easter comes from.
Yeah.
Because Tammuz was the god of fertility.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to try to find eggs and color them up. And that was the practice, worshiping the god of Tammuz.
Well, they still doing it, Katri. Doing it in the dark. Doing it in the park. They still doing it. Easter time is Easter. Color the little eggs and whatnot.
They coming out the closet, and they proud.
Yeah, it's true. And the Most High says, Katrin, thank you very much. He said, you see greater abomination than what you just saw, Ezekiel. So he brought me, brought him to see the greater abomination. He brought me into the inner court of Yah's house. And there is the door of the temple of Yah. Between the porch and the altar were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple. They back was toward the Most High, the temple of Yah, and their face toward the east. They were worshiping the sun toward the east, and we still worship the sun me. Oh, it's true. Don't get angry. Get right. And he said to me,
So, before you go further,
right.
The only reason we face the east is because we know that Jerusalem and the temple is in the east.
Mm-hmm.
Our ancient fathers right here in the land of Israel,
mm-hmm.
at the temple, and they got their backs to the temple facing the east because we know that's where the sun rises.
Right.
And they worship in the sun in Yah's house.
Exactly. Doing it after dark. Doing it in the park. They doing it everywhere. They doing it everywhere, Katria. And a lot of people, Hebrew Israel, like conscious Hebrew Israelites and that, are faking the funk with the LOM. They talk about, by wordage, a word uses, oh, I love Yah. Oh, I can't do, oh, I got to do everything, but they ain't doing everything Yah says. They ain't making the right application with Yah says. By virtue, you're worshiping something quite different than what Yah says. What did Ezekiel do? I mean, you talking about, was Ezekiel burning on an altar? He was a priest. He was a Levitical priest. He wasn't doing anything in captivity with what the Most High says. Then he says, do the Shabbat. And was he doing the Shabbat? It made no mention of that. He said, everything that we elect to do, did Ezekiel do that? And did he represent this to you? No, he was listening to the Elohim. He was repeating what the Elohim said. He was doing nothing more and nothing less.
So you got to keep in mind.
Right.
You got to keep in mind, Yasu.
Right.
This is an outer body experience.
Because
mm-hmm. he's sitting with the elders. And the Most High showing him through a vision what's going on in Jerusalem. Because he's not in Jerusalem. But
right.
the Most High took him there, not mentally, not physically, but
mm-hmm.
spiritually.
Right.
These Gentiles are trying to create a time machine and all that kind of stuff. No. Our ancestors traveled through time and space.
Right.
And he's witnessing while he's sitting with the elders in a vision. And I'm sure the elders are looking at him like he's bugging out.
Right.
But he's recording the vision that he's seeing while he's sitting with them, what's going on in Jerusalem. Imagine,
exactly.
I know the CIA had a program,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they had these psychic people, like, can you see what's going on in Russia? No. This is what this chapter is about. He's sitting with elders, and he has the ability to see what's going on in Jerusalem.
Right.
That's the power that the Most High gives our people when we're connected mm-hmm. with him.
And that being said, Cartrell, there's no suggestion, inference, or suggestion of anything other than what the Most High requires him to say and or do in his out-of-body experience. And he says, and he said to me, Ezekiel, have you seen, O son of man, is it a trivial thing to the house of Yehuda to commit the abomination which they commit here? Is this a trivial matter? For they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger by way of their actions. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, I will act in fury. My eyes will not spare, nor will I have pity on them. And though they cry in my ear with a loud, I hear them, but I will not hear them. I will not respond to what they're doing, because what they're doing is an abominable thing. And they get worse and worse and worse. They're not getting better, just like some of us today, as far as Yah is concerned. We're not getting better. We're doing the same thing over again and far worse and expecting different results. Our fathers and mothers did it in ancient times. And unfortunately, we continue to do the very same thing. Doing the same thing and far worse over and over again and expect different results. And you're not going to get them. And it's just that simple. That's why
so in other words, y'all say,
right. Go ahead.
We want Yah to save us,
mm-hmm.
but we won't change.
Yeah, we don't want to change.
We're going to do all the wickedness, all the evil, what we want to do, and then we cry out to Yah to ask him to save us, but we don't want to change.
That's
the only
it.
Way Yah is going to save you is if you change.
And you, if you notice, Katya, that's why I mentioned your life, the changes came in your life because you made change. You activated the plan in the songs. Sister Yehudi, same way. Activate, she changed things in her life. Sister Abia, things change in her life by virtue of the changes she made. And that's that, you know, that's cause and effect. We want to continue doing the very same things we do. We don't want to go to Yah for answers. We go to our oppressors. We mistreat one another. We kill one another. We abuse one another. Then we write rap songs about it and say, it's all good. We call our women B's and W's. Our B's and the women call us far worse. And then we expect constructive relationships. How constructive could it be get out of it, especially by the way of Yah? Can you expect anything constructive from Yah and you continue to pursue idols and idolatry, the Easter egg bunny, and so on and so forth, and anything else for that matter? And you're not facing Yah when you face the East. Facing
can
the
I
temple. You're, mm-hmm. you're facing away, for your back is away from the temple. We're going to go over again and expecting different results.
No, Yasu. We wait till we get in trouble, and then we say, oh, God, help me.
Right.
Some of us do. Where did you leave? Are you finished with this chapter?
Yes.
Because I didn't hear you when you said with the last one, therefore I shall indeed deal in wrath. My eyes shall not pardon, nor will I spare. And they shall cry, what Carcel was saying, in my ears with a loud voice, but I shall not hear them.
Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, I'm sorry. It is too late. It's too late.
Yet I'm for the ones who are crying out sincerely, who are doing righteousness, being obedient. Let me change it. I'm for them that are out there scattered all over the world that are being obedient to the Most High. We know about our people. We see it constantly. If it's not through the news, the paper, when we go about our business back and forth, when we're outside, we see the degradation. We see it. But who caused it? Who allowed it? The Most High, many times we've read these scriptures. He said, I'll bring the good and the evil. So we're trying to give our readers hope if they continue and walk in the path of the Most High. Even though they may stumble, even though they may have hardships, even their setbacks, Creator make of all things, only the Father can heal them out of this mess. Only the
The thing is, Sister Yehudi, the Most High loves our people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he shows that he loves our people with the example of Sister Abia. Sister Abia ain't know nothing about Yah. She growing up in the doctrine that she's been growing up, but Yah was with her all the time. Until she finally understood, oh, it was Yah who preserved me all this time. And I didn't know it, right? And that's how Yah is with all of our people. Our people may not know Yah, but Yah is showing his mercy amongst our people. And some of us are going to get to know, oh, wow, just like Sister Abia, it was Yah all this time that was with me, although I didn't know it. And when you make that change, which is what Yah is requiring of all of us, make the change, change. He's given us the chance to change. And if we don't, you know, have that in our heart to change, and we think that Yah's going to save us at the last minute, it's not going to happen. You're calling on Yah at the last minute, but you haven't been calling on Yah all this time.
And the beauty of is this. She did like Michael Jackson. She made that change. You can't continue doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results. She initiated change in her own life. And the Most High said, turn to me, I turn to you. You come to me, I'm going to come at you. That's how it
acted. She's a great example. She's the greatest,
right.
One of the greatest examples. And that's what I'm saying, that anything is possible. I mean, I don't like how we hurt one another, but I also see that we can love one another, and it has happened, and it is happening, maybe not to a bigger scale, but we think it should, maybe, I'm just speaking, but it is happening, and I'm thankful to the Most High that I see, even though I stumble and fall, and I have to call on him for mercy, because he will chastise you, right?
Right.
Yes, sir.
What I was wanted to say was that it's not that I didn't know y'all. My problem was that I knew y'all, but not to the fullest extent, because people had strong JC in the mix. I had to learn that I didn't need no third party JC in order for me to connect with y'all. And that's what hindered me and had me stumbling so many years. But no more, not now. I know y'all, and I know I could speak with him direct, go direct to him for all my needs.
Praise y'all.
There's a lot of people still stuck out there because, like you said, they go up to these churches and everybody keeps throwing JC in front of them and messing up their minds. They got to all come out of it. I just pray one day it all happens.
That's why nothing changes. Young. But praise God, that's why nothing changes. All right. That's... Continue on in chapter 9. The wicked are slain. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with a battle axe. Ooh-wee. In his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen, and a written, all them headbusters had a written inkhorn at his side. They went and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of Yah of Israel had gone up from the sheriff where it had been to the threshold of the temple. He called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And Yah said to him, the writer, the scribe, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. Put a mark on the forehead of the men and our women and children who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within them. Sometimes, y'all, you can't be laughing about and think that's funny and that's acceptable. Homosexuality, lesbianism, robbery, murder, any other wicked iniquity and abomination, that should be something serious to you. And he says, abominations that are done within it. And those that are doing that, right, right.
You realize what's going on here?
Yeah, those being marked that are not are going along with that program of abominations. And they're
marked by who?
Right. They're crying out to Yah. They're trying to get close
marked
to the
Elohim.
Marked
by who?
Marked by this angel.
Angels are marking people.
Right.
Do you think that people know that the angels are marking them?
No, they're not aware.
No. Who's aware?
Right.
Ezekiel is aware.
Right.
Because he's writing it down.
Right.
Go to the middle of the city, through the middle of Jerusalem,
and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. And we just read about the abominations in the chapter before, right? They in the secret tunnels, worshiping insects, whatever they were doing, the elders. What the hell y'all doing?
Right.
And the angels were there. How many angels? Wow.
Six.
How many angels? Six. Six angels. And the people didn't realize it. There were six angels in the midst of them, and they didn't even realize it. And they talk about the mark of the beast, but y'all got his mark too. He wasn't marking for destruction. He was marking the people that was disgusted at the abominations. And if you're not disgusted with the LGBTQ, people calling us black, black lives, if you're not disgusted with that, maybe the angels aren't marking you.
Right. Because these things should disgust you. It shouldn't become the norm, like they're trying to create. All this abomination shouldn't become normal to you. It should be disgusting to you.
Every day.
Every day.
It should be disgusting. The more it increases, you should be disgusted. Maybe the angels will mark you.
Right.
Maybe they will.
Well, here's for the others, on the contrary, who lacks this kind of stuff. The others, he said in my hearing, go after him through the city.
Mm-hmm.
Do not let your eyes spare nor have pity on them. Utterly enslave the old, young men, the old.
What?
The old, young men,
everybody.
Women, little children, and old women, do not come near anyone who is the mark. Began at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out, and they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was alone. I fell on my face and cried out and said, oh, Yah Elohim, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel and pouring out your fury on Jerusalem? Yah, he said to him, he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Yehuda, both of them, is exceedingly great. And the land, their land is full of bloodshed. And a city full of perversity. They are perverse. For they said, the Elohim has forsaken the land, which I had. And Yah does not see. He ain't seeing what's going on. And as for me, also, my eye will neither spare nor will I have pity. Because you can't mix it up with Yah with this mess y'all got going on. But I recompense their deeds on their own head. They will reap what they sow, basically saying. Thus then, the man clothed with linen, who had the ink horn at his side, reported back and said to Yah, I've done as you commanded me, this angel. See, if we had that attitude like that angel, we'd be a whole lot better off doing what the Most High commanded. But we can't do right. Some of us can't do right. And everything is acceptable to us. All kind of iniquity and abomination are acceptable. Worshiping idols, the prostitution of our women, the killing of our people, just in it, perversity, pedophilia on little children, and so on and so forth. The Most High said all this stuff, the idolatry, the perversion, the perversity that you're into, it should make you cringe. If you're acceptable with this type of behavior, you ain't going to get the mark. You're going to get your head busted. So these things ought to be horrific to you. Things that the Most High does not countenance, like I said, the gay rights movements and prostitution of our women, the murder of our people, the theft of our people selling drugs to our people, this should be horrendous to you. If it doesn't make you cringe, you got problems.
It makes me think about the messengers of angels that went to Lot and also to Sarah and Abraham. Reading that verse, which is a little bit different. And also with the mark, it's so different from the New Testament that it's the mark against the Most High. What they did, the abomination, and how they walk the Most High. And even when Ezekiel cried out, is this going to be the end of it? Are you destroying all the remnant of Israel and pouring out your wrath on Jerusalem? And he said to me, the quickness of the house of Israel and Yahweh is exceedingly and the land is filled with bloodshed, and the city filled with that which is warped. But they say, God has forsaken the land, and God is not seen. But as for me, my eyes do not harden, nor would I spare. I shall compensate the deed on their own head. So we don't, you know, some of us are waking up. People that I know are starting to wake up. But we have to be in our life when Abigail says, stay prayed up. We have to continue to stay in the meditation of the word of our Creator. Hallelujah.
Yeah. You got to turn away from that iniquity, too. You got, and that kind of behavior that they try to make part of the norm, that should make you cringe. Everything that this Western Hemisphere on the universal right race, all this stuff should make you cringe. If you think it's normal and acceptable, you got problems. You got more serious problems than you know.
So, Sister Yehudi, she touched on a great parallel. She went straight to Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yep.
And what do we know about Sodom and Gomorrah? We know that Abraham was praying, like, yeah, if there's like 50 righteous, please don't destroy the city. If there's 40 righteous, if there's 30 righteous, if there's 20 righteous, if there's 10 righteous. He bargained with Yah so he could destroy the city.
Right.
But we see here, in this example, it's almost the same thing. But it ain't against Sodom and Gomorrah. It's against Judah. It's against Israel. Mm-hmm. What are they doing? And angels are walking up in the midst of Judah and Israel,
mm-hmm.
like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
So they already know who's righteous and not righteous. They already know, don't they? Because they're mocking people who are disgusted at what's going on. And in the previous chapter, you read, Most High taking Ezekiel to a whole new wall. You got the elders worshiping crazy stuff. And the previous chapter before that, they in the mountains and the high hills doing their sacrifices and they worshiping. And Ezekiel is seeing all this while he's sitting with the elders, but he's taking a spiritual journey outside of his body.
Uh-huh.
This is crazy, right?
Yeah.
So he's seeing the angels. He's seeing the people. The people didn't even realize that the angels are walking in the midst of them, mocking them.
But let you know, Pastor, also, that the Most High is consistent as well as his blessing.
So do you know whether or not the angels are marking us or not?
Mm-hmm.
Are the angels marking us or not?
Oh, yeah. As I think some of us really don't understand things that we don't see that exist. Like they say, guardian angel.
So in this story, we see it from Ezekiel, who is a priest. We see the level of vision that the Most High shows the priests of the nation of Israel. The common man don't get these kind of visions. He's talking about the priest class, who the Most High is very close to. He's getting these visions.
Right.
He's sitting with the elders, so at the same time, He sees what's going on in Jerusalem. And that's mind-boggling. We wish we had those powers, right? I'm sitting right here in my house. I wish I could see what's going on in Jerusalem right now.
Right.
So, Yah gives our priests, the house of Levi, to appreciate those powers.
But he said, many people dying and confused and said, but Israel will cry out to him. I mean, a dreadful, awful, awful day. We can't even imagine how it's going to be. Nothing in movie or in a book.
And the Most High put the greatest challenge before us as a people to humble ourselves. Because if the Most High brings a man like Ezekiel, or a man like Yirmiyahu, or a man like Isaiah, our sisters better not be talking about they ain't following no man.
Mm-hmm.
These men are men of God,
mm-hmm.
and they're very close to the Most High. Ezekiel, Yirmiyahu, Yishiyahu, yeah, you may not listen to the average man, but you better listen to the men that Yah sent. And Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Yirmiyahu, Daniel, Moshe, these are men all of our people need to listen to, whether you male, female, young or old. Don't be so proud, so prideful. Well, the Most High speaks to me direct. I ain't listening to no man. You're making a mistake.
They're ones that are giving examples, right? They, you know, when we went through Jeremiah, it hit me to recognize how blessed I am and be more grateful. Can we imagine that we can survive through what they went through? They had to have tremendous inner strength to go through what they went through. If I can be just the tip of a nail, this is why I change, and I'm the clay, he's the potter. Changing has elevated me, where for me, without any disrespect to anyone, I want to concentrate on him. And listen to what our people done and what is comparison what we're doing today, but recognizing that these are the things he said we're going to do. Not to say that don't talk to them about it. And he said we were going to be under a fierce no nation, which we are.
So the worst of nations.
Yes. So maybe to me it's obvious. Maybe to the people I talk to don't know what I know, but know this. They know they're subjugated to the laws and the whatever in this land. They know it. And they know this is not their land.
You said a mouthful.
Huh?
I said you said a mouthful because Yah is our strength.
Mm-hmm.
And we, by the strength of Yah, will arise above our situation because he is our strength.
Yes, indeed. And he's given us mercy. Think about it. Be able to have a forum to communicate all over the world to try to give some substance to what we are communicating to. Help lay that foundation, or let the Most High lay the foundation we can build, or give them something that they can think about, because there's no feedback. So we are responsible. These words are going out. They're going out, and we can't take these words back. So he's worked with me of how to form my words to stop and think before you talk. And that's when we're communicating with people constantly, just like when Young Tu talking about speaking. Because some may be trivial. Some is important because that's energy. Today, I went out for a walk, and six people spoke to me. Six. Not that I counted. In some places where we live, nobody speaks. We talked about that yesterday. I thank y'all that you put me in a situation that I can grow. There's no excuse. And that's what I'm saying for the listeners. If you're in a situation that you can grow, take advantage of it. Grow. Always say you have to crawl, walk, and run. Oh, and Psalms. Forgot we gotta get into Psalms.
Okay. Gotcha. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready for a beautiful song, my brother?
Yes, sir, I don't. But before I go to the beautiful song, I just want to say this. The conditions that we just read about in the history of our ancient fathers, where they were worshiping idols and doing all kinds of abominations, is the condition we exist in now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're surrounded by it. We're overwhelmed by it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just like at that time, the people didn't know there was angels in the midst of them making marks. How do we know that the angels that existed then still don't carry out that same chore now? Are they marking people who are down with Babylon and every abomination that's going on? Or are they seeking Yah? Do you think that the same angels are marking those that are seeking Yah? Or those who are down with Babylon?
Whose children have died by the hands of our own as well as others. And it's going to continue and it's going to get better.
People are worried about the mark of the beast. You know what I'm worried about? The angels have marked me for being disgusted with what's going on right now.
Hallelujah. I'm going to jump up and down for that. Yes, I'm more concerned with that than I am with white race privilege because I know about it. It's here. No, some don't. Some don't care. They don't care.
They got the mentality of they got, like people say, I got one life to live and I'm going to live it the way I see fit. That's what's going on. Too much of that's going on. It's not supposed to be the way you see fit. It's what y'all been told us to do. This is just sad. And I walk out of here, out of my house, every single day I go for a walk and I see something. Yeah, I have to just turn my head and shake my head. And I said, Lord, have mercy, y'all, on them. Because they out here, they doing the same thing. Just like you said, it's different scenarios. Because I can go out here anytime and see somebody right in the park. They're cooking, and then they start that. The female starts twerking. The 4th of July, they was out here, and the woman got so drunk, she pulled down her... and swatted and did it in front of a bunch of men, and then the other woman jumped on her and beat the hell out of her. It's everything going on, but like you said, they feel like it's like they're living in mentality. I got one life to live, and I'm going to live it until I enjoy, so I enjoy it and do it the way I see fit, whatever. But like you said, them angels are marching. I just pray that they turn me right around.
When the saints come marching in, I want to be in that number. That's where they got it from. They marked by the saints, by the angels, by the messengers to live, to have life. And
It's disgusting. No matter where you go out here now, it's disgusting. You see all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, especially in the area where you guess. And trust me, you have
so we just read Ezekiel,
mm-hmm.
and he talked about Yah being jealous. Yah being jealous means he has feelings, right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't want to make Yah jealous, do we?
No.
All my love, everything I have inside me. Thank you, Yah, for creating me and allowing me to see your creation. I love you so much, I don't want to leave your creation.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
So we're about to read Psalm 60, another song by King David. This song by King David is not asking Yah for help. This is a prophetic song by our king. It's a song of prophecy. And he's praying or singing a song for our people in general, not for himself, but for the whole nation. So when you get into the mind of King David, it wasn't about himself at all. He's praying for the plan of Yah. And he knows what our people are going through, just like Moses. King David knew what our people would be going through. All his prayers are not just about himself. His prayers are for our nation. That's why y'all love King David. So, do y'all have a title for this song? This song? Psalm 60?
No, not in my book.
God of my salvation.
God of who?
My salvation.
All right. And King David reiterates that, don't he?
Mm-hmm.
He don't say Jesus is salvation, does he? King David knows that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is all of our salvation. And these songs are intended for him. So we give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel, for our King, King David, and for you, Yah, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies, in order that you preserve the words of our King, King David. Psalm 60, verse 1. Yah, you have rejected us. Raise your hand if you think Yah has rejected us. Yah, we just read it in Ezekiel. Yah poured his fury out on us, and he turned his back on us. Yes, Yah has rejected us. Why has Yah rejected us?
Disobedience.
Because we rejected him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we still reject him, don't we? We don't want to hear what you're about to say. You have broken us down. We're broken people now.
Yeah.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Israel's broken. But we think we can fix it. Can we fix it?
Mm-mm.
Who can fix it?
No. Only the Creator.
The
only
one who broke us. The one who broke us down can fix us, right?
That's right.
Why? Because, Yah, you've been angry. Does he have every reason to be angry with us?
Oh, yeah.
But we call on his mercy, King David. This is what King David said. Restore us again. You have made the land tremble. You have torn it. Mend its fractures, for it quakes. You have shown your people hard things. Wait a minute. How did King David know this? Was he a prophet? Because things were going pretty good with him as long as he followed Yah's path, right?
Uh-huh.
But he sees in the future. What does he see? He asking Yah to restore us again because I see we're going to be broken. He had made the land tremble. And in a prophecy we've been reading about Ezekiel, Yah just prophesied to the land, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He prophesied to the mountains and he prophesied to the land, in case y'all didn't remember what he says. He says, you have made the land tremble. You have torn it, which he said he would do in the prophecies of Ezekiel. King David is asking Yah, mend its fractures, for it quakes. You have shown your people hard things. And that's all we see, right? A hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's easy for us. You have made us drink the wine that makes us stagger. Are we still staggering? Are we still staggering?
Drunk as we want to be.
Oh, yeah. You have given a banner to those who fear you. Pay attention now. That it may be displayed because of your truth. Has the United Nations...
Mm-hmm.
Has the United Nation of Israel raised the banner?
Yeah, the flag, isn't it?
This is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Most High has given us this banner. Why? Because we fear Yah.
Mm-hmm.
That it may be displayed. Do we have to display our flag, our banner?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
why
we
not?
Do.
Mm-hmm.
Because of truth. Why do we have to display our banner? Because of truth. Because our people are surrounded by lies, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we tell you to go to the yahogather.us. You will see the banner for the nation of Israel. Because we fear Yah. And he told us to do what? Raise the banner, didn't he? Did
mm-hmm.
Yah tell us to raise the banner? In case you don't know, yes, he did. And in this chat, in this verse right here, you have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of truth. And that's why we raised the banner for the UNY, the United Nations of Israel, to display Yah's truth, who we are, all the conspiracies to destroy us as a nation. No, we're not African-American, Negro, colored, black, gang bangers, and all this stuff you call us. No, we are Yah's chosen people. The seed of Yaakov, the nation of Israel. And you may not admit it, may not confess it, but this is why we have our banner, to tell the world the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that your beloved may be delivered. Do we have to be delivered? Do we have to be delivered? Who's going to deliver us?
Yeah.
Is it? Yah's going to deliver us.
Yes. Katriel, mine said that those you love might be rescued.
And who are the ones that Yah loves that need to be rescued?
Israel.
It's us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be rescued.
S-O-S-T-Yah.
Save our souls, Yah. We in captivity. Ain't no man going to save you. How did King David see this? Did King David see this? Huh?
He says, save with your right hand and answer me.
Answer us. He didn't say me. So that your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and answer us. This is a pluralistic prayer for the nation. King David is King David
for himself,
but he's praying for our people.
Kadriel,
yes, sir.
Abia. I like in reference to Edom, that he would cast my shoe. Remember when that time when George Bush, and it got through his shoe at him?
He threw two of them and he ducked.
Yeah, threw a shoe at him, yeah. Y'all going to throw a shoe at Edom.
You in verse 8, man. We in verse 5.
Oh, okay, my bad. We good. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We're going to get to the shoe part.
I don't want no trouble.
Say
that again. What?
Your verse, the end of verse 5 says us. Yours says us.
Save that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and answer us.
Oh, mine's got me because I thought this is what he's pleading to the Most High of our nation, but asking to, okay, well, I'm getting where he's asking that you answer me on the thing. Of, okay, I'll do more research. Go ahead, continue. Good to have discussion.
Verse 6. Yah has spoken from his sanctuary. Did we defile Yah's sanctuary?
Your ancestors did.
Oh, yeah. We just read about it, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
To the degree they were sacrificing their children in Yah's sanctuary. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, right? Because Yah's letting you know, I have spoken from my sanctuary. And what he's letting you know from his sanctuary, I will triumph. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Sukkot. He ain't talking about the dimensions of heaven, is he? Is he talking about some place on earth?
Because
Shechem's on earth. And Sukkot is on earth. Gilead is on earth. He said, Gilead is mine. And Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the fence of my head. Do you know who Manasseh and Ephraim are?
What is Manasseh? I can't remember.
He's the son of Joseph, as is Ephraim.
Okay. I know Ephraim.
So we talk about the kings of Judah, but Manasseh and Ephraim were the kings of Israel. They took the 10 tribes. And this is what Yah is making a reference to. Gilead, who was controlled by Manasseh, he said, that's mine. Ephraim also is the defense of my head. So the Most High thinks highly of Manasseh and Ephraim. Then he says, Judah is my scepter. And what is the scepter?
Lawgiver.
Who holds the scepter?
Yehuda.
The king holds the scepter, right?
Yeah,
so he spoke about Manasseh and Ephraim before he spoke about the king, Judah, who holds the scepter. Then he goes into our family. Moab, he's our family, right? He says about Moab, Moab's my wife's wash basin. I will throw my shoe on Edom and shout in triumph over Philistia. So you want to make a comment about Yah throwing his shoe at Edom?
Yep. Yeah, he don't particularly care about Edom like that Ishmaelite didn't care about George W. Bush.
That's when he was in Iran and they threw the shoe at him.
Yeah.
But I got a lion Bush because he ducked it, he dodged it, the shoe didn't hit him, did it?
No.
And he dodged it twice.
He got good reflexes.
That's the lowest form of insult.
It's an insult to them.
And when Yah throw his shoe at you, it's definitely an insult.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Point I was making.
So Yah says, who will bring me into the strong city? Who has led me to Edom? Haven't you, Yah, rejected us? Yah has rejected us. Why has Yah rejected us? You don't go out without armies, Yah. Why doesn't Yah go out without armies? Because we're not codified. If we were codified, Yah would not reject us, and Yah would go out against our adversaries, wouldn't he? So we got to get codified because we can't defeat the people who are greater and mightier than we are. And we got to admit it. Universal white racist supremacists are greater and mightier than we are. Even though we talk about them like a dog. Huh?
Hallelujah. They certainly are.
But guess what? Once we become codified, Yah goes out and fights against our adversary, doesn't he?
Hallelujah.
And when we codify, Yah will not reject us anymore, will he? Once we get Yah to stop rejecting us, and we start rejecting him, we don't have nothing to worry about, do we?
Exactly.
All right. I hope y'all get it. give us help against the adversary. Yeah, that's what we need, because we can't do it alone, can we?
No.
For the help of man is vain. Yeah, you calling me on the phone like, Moray, help me out. I can't help you. I'm an old man. I'm 66. What you want me to do? All I can do for you is pray. And you might not think that that's enough, but the power of prayer, my connection with Yah, might be the best thing for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't take it for granted.
Like, it's right? A prayer is a weapon.
You don't go out with the army, Yah. Why don't you go out with our army, Yah? Because we're not codified. We're not following you. You rejected us. We rejected you. So you don't fight our battles for us. We need to be codified and be in sync so that no man on planet Earth can touch our nation. I don't care how mighty you think you are. Give us help against the adversary, which we need, for the help of man is vain. And ain't no man on the planet trying to help us. No nation trying to help our people here right now. So, Yah, we, through Yah, we will be valiant. That's all we need. We don't need Russia. We don't need China. We need no nation. We need Yah. And through Yah, we will do valiantly, like Moshe, like Shimshon, like King David, when the spirit of Yah came mightily upon them. Yah's spirit can come mightily upon his people. For it is he who will tread down our adversaries. It's not my plan. It ain't Yom Su's plan. Even though he got military experience in the Marine, he know how to shoot a gun, he know military tactics. But who he learned it from? He learned it from our adversaries. And our adversaries are way more advanced than what they taught our brother Yom Su's Ari. Yom Su's Ari was the spook who sat by the door, who try to transfer his skills from the Marines to our young brothers here into being Marines against our adversaries. It won't work unless Yah treads down our adversaries. And we will do valiantly. We will do valiantly through Yah. Uh-huh. Just like Moses and Aaron, two old men, 80 years old, took two shepherd staffs to Egypt, the mightiest nation on earth, and destroyed them.
And that's a good reason, Kajrael, why I try to point out to people this book, The Daughter of Babylon, which is basically a universal white race prison. That's why you're not going to get nowhere running to them for solutions, because the help is vain. And any one of our brothers out there that try to suggest, infer, and imply that I got a way to beat them. You don't have a way to beat them. The only way you can beat universal white race supremacy, let me be honest about this, is through the strength and the help of God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, meaning you have to decodify it. These people are in total control, this daughter of Babylon. And the only way you're going to get at it, you get your jaw near to the Most High. And you get rid of, you got to create it all iniquity. Especially the daughter of Babylon, this universal white race supremacy, which is basically the fourth kingdom. And if you don't know about what the fourth kingdom is, you're going to be totally confused about everything. And you're going to do everything instead of doing the right thing.
So, yes, you see with our king, King David, got his strength. King David, how did you defeat so many nations, so many men? How did you kill the giant? And you know what he's going to tell you? Through Elohim, we will do valiantly. For it is he who will tread down our adversaries. He didn't take credit for himself, did he? How you doing, King David? How did you kill Goliath? How did you kill 10,000? And he's telling you, through Yah, we will do valiantly, which is what he did. For it is he who tread down our adversaries. And that's his message to us as his descendants, right? We just got to understand that. We just got to understand that. And we don't want Yah rejecting us. We want Yah to go out before us against our adversaries, because we got many adversaries, people. These people are trying to kill us. We have to call on Yah, just like our king, King David. He's our shield, our high tower, our defense. And when we ain't sync with him, through Yah, we will do valiantly. For it is he who will tread down our adversaries. It's the same pattern that he used for Joshua and Caleb. Mosai told them what to do, and they did valiantly because it was Yah who tread down their adversaries. Just like Moses and Aaron.
Praise Yah. Bless the Mosai name. I'd like to thank the Mosai for what Contrail just studied and just what we just studied for Ezekiel and his Psalms. The opportunity to mark, not the mark of the beast as they make reference to, but the mark of the Most High and safety and security. To having that opportunity by virtue of these studies. And also understanding our enemies and how we can be protected by our enemies, which is not by the strength of men, by the strength of the Most High. And that's some beautiful song that Cartier said, being codified in order to be protected, having the opportunity to stand on this rock under the pinion of his wings, his high tower, him being our buckler and shield. And it's something serious. It's nothing to scoff at and make jokes of, take lightly, because the Most High didn't put that beautiful song there for us to feel good. He put that beautiful song there and praise and bless his Most High name because it's the answer to our problems. He didn't put Ezekiel there to just make us scoff at. He put it there to give us an indication what we should scoff at, the inequities, the perversity that's going around, these many religions that goes on and so forth. We should be cringing at it. And for us to have the opportunity to cringe at these things and be codified in the Most High way, far as the beautiful song is concerned, and make the application. It's good to study, as I said. Praise the Most High for that. But it's far more better to make application. Bless the Most High and praise his holy name for all that he's done for us and the opportunity to keep sharpening us in his word. Thank you, Most High. Bless your holy name.
Yes, and I give my thanks to Yah for all his blessings that he bestows on us, his love, his mercy, and his grace that he wakes us up every morning. Grateful that he finds ways to see that we are safe, strong, and safe. And if you ever feel like you're running out of strength, all you have to do is just pray, and Yah will fill you up.
Praise Yah.
I want to take this opportunity to give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel. Ladies first, go ahead, Sister Yui.
I wanted to say all over the world, I pray for my sisters and brothers and their families that are striving, that are struggling, that know who our Creator, our Father, our Maker, our Potter. And I hope that the messengers or angels are covering them in protection to continue to grow, as well as us on this line. I praise him with all of my might and heart and soul, and I ask for mercy and forgiveness when I stumble. But I know he's there for me and anyone else because he deals with us as a nation. In your name, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Just want to take the opportunity right now to give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel, the creator of all things and everything. Yah, Zevaot, God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for the vision that he's given me and allowed to be shared over the air, over the blog talk, Real Talk for Real People show. And I know that Yom Suf is being marked because he's disgusted with what's going on in the way that he talks about the LGBTQ, Black Lives Matter, and how he rolls about those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he got a big mark on his forehead by these angels.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Yom Suf, we should all be marked and be disgusted as much as him about what's going on in the world today. And in my spirit, I don't express it like Yom Suf, but I am disgusted.
Right.
I feel for the youth of this generation, my son, my grandchildren, and I see the choices that they have to make that I didn't have to make.
Right.
And I pray that Yah intervenes in their behalf.
Oh,
so yes. I give thanks, and I know that Yah is going to come through for us as a people, and he will deliver us because our hearts are right.
Praise.
May our hearts be right with Yah, because we do love him for creation and the gift of life that he's given us. And I'm so grateful that he didn't allow me to end my life when I thought I should have.
We are too, Cartier.
Hallelujah.
Cartier.
Yeah.
Cartier. Sister Hootie and Sister Avia. I don't thank Cartier for making mention of that because I do abhor all inequity. Not only the LGBTQ trying to get at you and me, but any inequity, the mistreatment of our people toward one another. Police killing our people and we killing each other, the prostitution of our women, the mistreatment of our women, the pedophilia when it comes to our children, and so on and so forth. I abhor all of it. And I abhor our going to these idols seeking solutions. I thank the Most High. Contrary, compel me to go back in and thank it. I thank the Most High for us having the mindset that we should have. I thank the mark put on my head ain't the mark on either a shoe upside the head. I thank the Most High that I got a mark from one of the angels, not a shoe upside my head. That if he'll thought I'm going along with this travesty that goes on. And I thank Cartrell for being like the Most High said he ought to be, like we all ought to be, for us these inequities and these idolatries and this perversity is concerned. Praise the Lord.
Yasu, my brother, you know, listening to you, Patriel, and Abigail, a number has been really pulled on all of us. A thought came to me. People are so grasped with that New Testament and the mark of the beast, and yet we read the mark of the Most High.
Right.
So while we have to stay strong, because people will die for what they believe in, their belief. We die for what we know for a fact, not made up. So we have to be ever so careful in our comings and goings. Not paranoid, but have the armor. I'm going to use their word because it's true. Have the armor of the Most High. I always talked about protection. That's the angel. Like I said, we are protected. You are protected. Your family. Everybody's family here is protected. You just read it. The one you love, Mike. I relish on the love of our Creator. I know I understand it gets to you, young too. I don't like it either. It's in the game. Homosexuality is in the games, in the schools, in the movies. And
right, right. You sure right about that. Hey.
Everywhere. So I understand that frustration, but we're living in times right now. You heard the end time?
Right.
This has never happened before. They said it was odd that a former foreign minister of Japan was murdered in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And you ain't heard nothing about Japan. A foreign minister of Japan was murdered in Japan. He was someone else. And they said that was unusual. So that lets you know right there. It's not going to get no better.
No.
It's going to get worse. And we better be prepared.
And you hit the nail right on the head, Sister Yehudi. Because what they say about Japan, they said they only had 10 shootings in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
One person died, four people got injured, and 10 shootings throughout a whole year. And you contrast that with America. They got over 300 mass shootings.
Oh, we have 10 shootings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So violence is increasing. So they say the Japanese people are shocked that this man got assassinated with a gun. And it was a homemade gun.
yes.
because of their strict laws against guns.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows you, you know, contrast. Most eyes waking people up worldwide. Right. Violence is everywhere.
Yes. Not only that, but the illness, diseases are coming. I said it a few months ago. It's not a prediction. It's when you study the Most High and you really listen to what he said, the words that the people have been inspired. Like, now they're concerned about the Most High. They weren't concerned at first, but now they're concerned because it's spreading. They say it's now in Michigan, in this place, in that place. Now they say the form of the COVID, they got alphabets and letters with it, is far more contagious, and we're still in a pandemic. Now, think about that. People walk around act like they're not. They're doing okay. But didn't that happen with Egypt? So we got something to think about. This is food for thought. Alone. Cry out, people. Cry out. Forgive us, Father, for what we have done. Save us in your wrath. And we all can be saved from loving you from your heart. From you know the heart of me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Abiyah. Thank you, Sister Hudi. And thank you, Kadri. And most importantly, thank you, Most High. Praise and bless your holy name. We thank you, Most High, for the opportunity to come study together, burn the midnight oil when we get off this show, and come back and keep sharpening each other and to be abhorred over the things we see and not become a norm to us and commonplace. That we continue to abhor things so we can be marked and not a shoe thrown at us like an eagle. Bless your holy name, y'all. Continue to direct and order our steps so we don't lean to our own understanding. Bless and praise your holy name for this nation. And please, y'all, let them go to Yah. We'll gather that us to understand what nation building is and nation is. And that being said, we don't know where y'all are going, but you can't stay here. We got to go. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Get your new heart and spirit like King David. One that have worked for you before all wickedness as we do, because you're going to need that mind so you can be marked the right way and not a shoe thrown at your head the wrong way. We love you. Mm-hmm. Most High, shalom and good night. Cartrell, Sister Hootie, Sister Abia, you want to say shalom and good night to the people?
Yeah, just don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Stay on the right path and stay prayed up. Shalom and good night.
Shalom,
thanks,
everybody.
Shalom,
Sister Hootie. Shalom, good night, family. May the Most High bless and keep us.
Thank you very much, Cartrell. May the Most High bless and keep you too. All right. We love y'all. Come back Monday. Be careful. Good night. Shalom.
and a warm and tender embrace.
Whether you want to believe it or not, because you'll bleed.